I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm in recovery for drugs, alcohol, abuse, codependency, boundary issues, and approval seeking. My name is Corinne. Amen. I was born in small town Oregon to a young couple that adored me. My dad worked in the mill, and when he wasn't working, he was frequently out hunting, fishing, and drinking. He did not spend a lot of time with me, but when he did, he was fun and loving. I went everywhere with my mom. We were very close. It was usually just the two of us, and I relished being the center of attention at a very young age. I was the only child, niece, and grandchild, and I was blessed with activities such as acting lessons, going to the theater, and the ballet at a very young age. When I was 5, another member joined our family. My brother was born, and everyone was joyful, everyone except for me. I was being forced to share my spotlight with someone else, and I was not keen on the idea. I took the birth of my brother very hard, and I took it personally with my mother, and I began to be cruel to her and push her away. She once asked me why this change had come about. I glared at her, and I said, "Because you had him." My mother sobbed as she held my baby brother in her arms at the hurtful words that I had uttered. There were a few things that I do remember about my childhood. My mom was frequently doing something at church, and since my brother and I were always with her, we spent much time there as well. I remember being interested in the Bible and feeling the love of Christ in my life at a young age. I was baptized by my own request at the age of 7. My parents' marriage was not great, but they did not let my brother and I see the destruction that was about them. I do have a vivid memory of an argument that they once had, though. I was tucking my dad into bed, as was my routine due to his early work schedule, and they began arguing about something. I remember my dad yelling at my mother and then smashing his alarm clock and throwing it into the mirror in the room, all the while I stood next to the bed in shock. I had no idea that my dad was capable of being so scary. A few weeks after Christmas, my parents separated. I was 8. I was confused as to why they couldn't work it out. Unbeknownst to me, the verbal abuse that my mom endured was frequent, and she couldn't take the hurt any longer. The life of a broken home set in. I began to retreat into my own world more and more. One weekend, while staying at my dad's, I was sleeping on the floor of his room, and I came across his stash of Hustlers. I still remember it vividly. Why would women act this way? Why would my dad want to see it? There must be a reason, and it must be that this is what women are supposed to do, I thought to myself. My first run-in with pornography, I was 9. I did not realize it at the time, but later on, this influenced my body and self-image issues that would plague my life and also my issues of self-worth and respect when it came to sharing my body with others. I still dreamt of my parents getting back together, how wonderful life could be if everything just returned to its old way, but it did not. My mother eventually remarried to a man that seemed like an amazing Christian that was caring and loving. Meanwhile, my father moved to the Carolinas for a job promotion. I spent about a year despising him for choosing money over me. Even though he was still in contact with me, I felt unworthy, unimportant, and abandoned by him. Shortly after my mom married, my new stepdad moved out. Things were not well, and he had presented himself in a false light to her. He, too, was addicted to pornography. Between this and the absentness of my father, I was unable to get a healthy male as an example to me, and my mindset began to shift. My stepdad once walked into the bathroom one evening while I was showering and made his camera flash. He said there was no film in the camera and that he was doing it as a prank. I never forgot that night, and I felt different towards him after it happened. Were boundaries meant to be crossed? Was it okay for men to gawk at women and objectify their bodies? My mom had put up with enough chaos from my stepdad and went to the elders of the church that we were attending and expressed her concerns. She was encouraged to pray for her addicted and abusive husband and was told that it would be wrong to divorce him. I did not know of this at the time, and I hated that my mom would not just end the relationship with my stepdad. A couple of years later, when I learned of all of this, it became fuel to my newfound dislike for the church. My mom soon gained the strength to go against the advice of her church and divorced my stepfather. When I was 13, I decided to move to North Carolina to live with my dad and his girlfriend. I could live in a house with my own room. I didn't have to move in with a family member while my mom went back to school. And most importantly to me, I would once again become an only child. Toward the end of the time living with my mom, I had begun to lash out at her verbally, saying things like, "If you do that, trust me, you'll regret it," and other unwarranted and hurtful things. North Carolina was very different from Salem, Oregon. I talked different, I dressed different, and I lived with my dad and his girlfriend, which wasn't looked highly upon in the Bible Belt. I had always been well-liked, received good grades, and was active in theater, choir, and volleyball. All of this stayed true when I moved to North Carolina, well, all of it except for the whole being like thing. I had never experienced bullying before, and I was happy that it was short-lived. I learned to become what people like to be around so that I could be accepted into the crowd. I began to feel more lost and out of place than I ever had. When I moved away from my mom, I became my father's puppet to manipulate, and I had neither the strength nor the clue how to set boundaries with him, which continued to be a problem for me in years to come and still is. I always aimed to please, and any disappointment had in me would crush me. I tried to be his favorite. I lied about my mom during a custody battle over me. I said horrible things to get my father's love and approval while I continued to bar my mom from getting close to me, and I continuously hurt her for no deserved reason. I stopped going to church after my move. My father had turned from the church and began to make a mockery of the whole idea of Jesus. I followed suit, turning away from my Holy Father. In high school, I was the girl that you wanted your daughter to be friends with. I was the lead in the school play, played sports, and was involved in different school clubs. I received good grades and even ended up graduating a semester early to attend the University of North Carolina, Asheville. I had learned the art of putting on face that people wanted to see. When there were no parents around, I was the girl that everybody wanted at their party. I could drink the boys under the table. I would be the first to get everybody to go skinny dipping or whatever else seemed fun and crazy to me at the time. My dad was frequently out of town on business, so as long as I was getting good grades and was being what he considered safe about my choices, he didn't really mind my drinking and having sex with my boyfriend. Toward the end of high school, I was a regular at the weekend party, getting drunk, getting all the attention that I craved. I was seen as the anti-drug girl, though. My reasoning was my uncle, who had been in and out of recovery his whole life. It had caused him to lose his home, wife, kids, job, and most recently, his health. One night at a party, I had a raging headache from drinking too much. I went into the bathroom to find something to take for it. When I walked in, a couple of people that I knew were standing around visiting. I asked them if anyone had anything to help my headache, and I was handed a white pill that I was told was aspirin. I took what I was given, and I quickly learned that it was not aspirin, but ecstasy. Instead of thinking about what a horrible experience it was and continuing on my drug-free path, it opened the door to experimenting with drugs to mask the person that I was. I used drugs as another way to forget my bad day, how much I hated how I looked, the fact that I had been restricting food for years, and because I enjoyed the inner circle effect that it had on my relationships with people. Through college, I played with marijuana, mushrooms, ecstasy, Special K, opium, Xanax, and was introduced to cocaine. I drank heavily on a regular basis and even got alcohol poisoning a few times. One night, my roommates left me in a room with two guys and two bottles of tequila. When they found me, both bottles were empty. I was passed out on the floor with my clothing out of place, and the two guys were gone. I have no recollection of the events of that night, only that my body hurt and I had a hangover for days. No one took me to the hospital out of fear that I would get in trouble for underage drinking. I felt that my friends didn't care enough to take care of me, and I was angry at them for leaving me alone with the guys. I began to not trust people. I started going to an underground club and dancing the night away while high a couple of nights a month to immerse myself in a world where I felt I was in a group of exclusive friends. We had secrets together. I was so lost, always feeling alone and empty, looking for something to fill my broken heart with. My uncle died around this time from complications from his addiction. Helping to prepare things for his funeral made the cost of addiction real to me, and it scared me straight, but only for a year or so. Thankfully, during this time, I was able to graduate college. Now that college was out of the way, I could really have some fun. I had no responsibilities. I slept half the day away, went to work in the afternoon bartending, and headed most nights out with a bottle of vodka, a bag of Coke, and my so-called friends. By the grace of God, I made it through each evening, not only alive, but without getting a DUI. When I was 25, I finally decided to throw in the towel on my on-again, off-again, verbally abusive relationship with my alcoholic high school sweetheart. I quickly jumped into the arms of the next guy. He told me everything I needed to hear and gave me anything that I wanted. Although everyone told me he was bad news, I insisted on falling for the falsely presented person that he was selling me, along with all the Coke and booze he made readily available to me. I believed every bit of the false hope that he fed me, and he quickly convinced me that he was not who he seemed, that all the bad news I had heard of him was in his past, and he was on the up and up. He quickly tried to convince me that we should get pregnant and start a life together. The honeymoon period was intense, and I followed every compliment that he fed me, wanting more. He made me feel loved, beautiful, and smart, but in the back of my mind, I knew that things just did not seem right with him. One day we received a call from DHS that his two children from a previous relationship were being placed in our custody. As preparing to add two children to our home, we decided to go out and party one last time before our life changed. That night, every drink that I tried didn't taste right, so I didn't drink much, but my boyfriend had his usual half bottle of whiskey. When we got home that night, I was bound and raped by him repeatedly. When I woke in the morning, there was a pregnancy test on the bathroom counter that he had left for me to take. My heart was racing. Please don't let me be pregnant with this monster's child. When it came up positive, he wrapped his arms around me and proclaimed his excitement that we were having a baby and would always be together, and I died a little inside. Although I was unsure if I wanted to be a mother, there was no way that he would even discuss our options with the pregnancy. We were meant to be a happy family, and I may as well brace myself for the crazy ride ahead of me. I am very thankful that through my pregnancy, God removed the urge to drink and use. The further along I was in my pregnancy, the more I fell in love with the idea of the amazing life that was inside of me, and the worse the abuse from my fiancé got. When I was 5 months pregnant, we were wed. The day after our wedding, in our honeymoon suite, my new husband again wrapped his arms around me. This time he said, "Now that we're married, the only way out of this is in a box. I just want you to know that." The implication being, I could only escape this marriage by him by leaving dead in a coffin. This was not a fairy tale, but a nightmare wedding. After the wedding, he was rarely around to help me raise his two kids, always returning home drunk after nights at the strip club or out with the boys. If I didn't tend to his needs when he was in this state, he would yell, punch holes in the walls, flip over furniture, or on occasion, he would rape me. When my daughter was born, I was hoping that her being here would change his ways, and our great family life that he had promised me would begin. During the delivery of her, he left, went to the bar. When he returned, he slept on the floor of the delivery room while my mom stood by my bed and helped me through 2 days of labor. Hours after my daughter came into this world, I was instructed to hide my pain meds that my nurse had brought to me and save them for my husband. I felt wronged and tossed aside, but I did not feel alone anymore because I had the most precious gift in my arms, my daughter. I daydreamed of leaving my husband and having an amazing life with my daughter, just the two of us. A few months after she was born, I injured myself and I was given pain medication. I found that they made the mistreatment and self-hatred for the world that I had brought my daughter into more bearable. I found that pain meds were a huge issue for my husband, and he had been hiding it from me until now, but since he saw that I enjoyed them so much, might as well let the cat out of the bag. Things were about to spiral out of control, and quickly. I found comfort and escape from my unhappy life living with these pills. My husband suggested that the 20 or so Vicodin that I was getting was not enough, and he heard of the perfect place to go and get what we really needed. I remember how disgusting and out of place, not to mention how terrified I felt when I walked into the biggest pill mill in South Florida. I was spoken to in an abrasive and degrading manner by the staff. I didn't fit the part, though. I looked polished, educated, and foreign among the 200 or so dope sick people in the waiting areas of this clinic that were being herded from here to there like cattle by the bouncer-looking security guards. Because of the look I had and the grooming of words to use that my husband had taught me, I successfully received a large script of high milligram pills that were about to get a hold on me like nothing ever had. And me being naive to the world of pills, I had no clue just how bad and how quickly I was about to get hooked. I was physically and mentally addicted. I would become dope sick daily if I didn't have my fix. I tried quitting on my own after being at wit's end with the mental conception of planning out my next score every day. It usually wouldn't last more than 3 days because I would become violently ill without my 60 to 175 milligrams of Oxy a day. My husband had stopped working, and I was the sole provider for a family of five and two habits of $20 to $80 a day apiece. I began using all the money that I made bartending to support our habits, sparing little for rent and bills, frequently seeking help from family members to pay my way. Every day was filled with lies to help me get money for my next score. The only things that mattered to me were pills and my daughter. I was blind to the lying, the stealing, and the destruction that I was bringing to those around me. I was ready to be freed from this whirlwind, so I did what had worked for me in the past. I ran. I decided to pack up my family and move back to Oregon. No more drugs, new state, good family support. I had it all planned out. I could do this. I had left my mother 13 years earlier to live with my father, and now her and her new husband were opening their home to us. The secret that I bared was beyond belief, and I did not have the strength or clarity to share it with anyone in my family, especially my mom, who had become a counselor in the field of addictions. And here I was about to show up on her doorstep, an addict. There were so many days that I wanted to cry and tell all that I was going through, the drugs, lying, cheating, and the abuse that I was enduring. I felt like a broken and hollow shell of a person. Whenever I spoke of exposing my addiction to my husband, he told me that if anyone found out how bad things were, my daughter would be taken from me for being an unfit parent, and this alone was my greatest fear. Without her, I would have no reason to live, even though at the time my addiction was nothing resembling living, but instead dying a little every day. I did not stay clean for long after my move. It was no time until I found a doctor to fool into giving me what I wanted, although it was not enough to fuel my addiction, and I relied on my husband to find the drugs that I needed. My marriage continued to be plagued by mistreatment, emotional, verbal, sexual, and financial abuse. I was too afraid to leave. I thought he would hurt me or our daughter. I was at the point that I woke daily wanting to die because of my addiction and relationship. When I mentioned that I wanted to quit using pills, he would try to coax me back into it verbally, and if that didn't work, he literally would force feed me pills. I realized later that it was a way for me to keep him around. If I was active in my addiction, then I couldn't leave him, for he was my main supplier. Without his help, I would be dope sick and my cover would be blown. With the support of my family, I gained the courage to file for divorce. Needless to say, my husband was furious and found what he thought would be something so horrible and upsetting to me, a way to get back at me. It backfired, and although it was one of the scariest and most painful moments of my life, I am now forever grateful. He sat down with my mom and stepdad and told them about my drug problem. He thought that he was destroying me, and that night I felt the same, but really, he began the start of my new blessed life. That week, he and my two darling stepchildren moved back to North Carolina. I detoxed. I cried tears of fear, hurt, anger, and relief as my world came crashing down around me. My mom found me a counselor and took me to Rolling Hills Celebrate Recovery that very week. I was mortified, so full of shame. This continued to be a hard area for me to work through. I felt that my addiction was a slap in the face to my mom and her profession, and then for me to walk through the doors of her church and the broken condition that I was in was just the icing on the cake. I was so hurting, alone, lost, and confused when I came to CR. My first night, the speaker talked of a step study that had just started, and I felt that I needed all the help I could get at this point because the only thing that was keeping me going was my daughter, and I needed to step up and be the mother that she deserved. There had to be more to life than being lost and wounded soul aimlessly wandering. Step study was the hard force of realization that I needed. Learning to trust and speak my heart openly to a group of women was painfully stitching my heart and soul back together. The first few weeks, I still felt a wall of bitterness and anger that just wouldn't break down. About a month and a half into my recovery, I attended the Rolling Hills Women's Retreat, and the last night we were encouraged to write down what we needed to be freed from and pin it to a cross that was at the stage. In this moment, I finally made the choice to surrender my addiction and all the negativity that came with it over to him and embrace his never-ending love and grace. After this act of nailing my sins to the cross, the wall began to crumble, and things that I was working on in step study became easier to focus on. My shame, attention-seeking behaviors, my need to be accepted, and my need to control slowly but surely were handed over to the Lord's care. The more I released, the more I trusted, it was easier. Jesus turned, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment. Matthew 9:22. My love for the Lord has returned as it was as a small child, for he alone is my comforter. The support and accountability that I received from my CR family and my parents were not always what I wanted at the time, but always what I needed. I was retaught the love of Jesus and felt his grace in abundance. Within 1 week of celebrating my 1 year of sobriety, my best friend, also known as my mom, baptized me. On Mother's Day, I dedicated my own personal angel on earth, also known as my daughter, to Christ's care and control. And I stand before you all today, 11 days and 2 years after God set me free from the chains of addiction and destructive ways. I know that this is only the beginning of my true life, my life in Christ. My heart would be broken still if it weren't for these people and this place that have helped me along the joyous yet painful road to recovery. On the hard days, I like to remember a quote that I heard early on in my recovery. I could have the pain of discipline today, or I could have the pain of regret tomorrow. I could have the pain of progress today, or the pain of stagnation for a lifetime. This is what I say to you, newcomer. Do not let life pass you by. Live a life of love, joy, and purpose. Stop hiding. You have found a safe place to let your light shine, even if now it is merely a dull glow. With time, you will become a starlight of glory and God's abounding love. He has a place for all of the hurting children in this world. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Thank you for letting me share.